Did you just hit your head on the microphone?
Headphones on the microphone, yeah. I know, it's not great, is it?
I need a second, hold on.
Okay.
I was like, what was that noise?
Here we go, really, really. 3, 2, 1, and all that stuff.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Hey there, this is Katie with a very hateful thought of the day. I hate people who think celebrity activity is news. Let me assure you, anything Kardashian, Miley, or Bieber has no place being a lead story. If you're billed as a news network, you're probably discrediting yourself by discussing who wore what at the Oscars. Furthermore, E! Is not a news network, and the Weekly World News isn't either. Even if Roseanne Barr was abducted by aliens. I hate people who think celebrities should be reported like legitimate news stories. And you, I hate you too.
See, I'm conflicted.
Why?
Because you mentioned Bieber, and then I think of how Dan calls you Biebs, and then it's just, it makes me think of maybe CNN should be reporting on you and Dan.
Well, we're not celebrities, so...
Not yet.
Ever.
All right. Take a pause. Here comes Dude Walker.
Cake and cookies. Rob and Katie. It's the Rob and Katie Show.
Thanks, Biebs. That's Biebs Walker.
You don't get to call me Biebs. Oh, you were calling Dude Biebs.
Yeah, of course. Who, by the way, on the red carpet, he was wearing...
Armani.
Of course. It is the Cake and the Cookies and the Rob and the Katie, a weekly podcast to show by way of comparison that your life, folks, get a grip. It isn't that bad. What?
It can't be.
No, it can't. Our thanks, as always, to Mr. Mike O'Mara, Mr. Oscar Santana, and everyone at Moore Broadcasting, including Mademoiselle Toni Bloom. And, of course, thank you, Steve Bridges, for putting us on the radio, keeping us on the radio. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook. But most importantly, find us on the iTunes and leave us 5 stars and a positive review. That's what I want.
Just a little message.
Just a something, and then we'll all be very happy. Hi, Katie.
Hi, Rob.
How are you?
I think I'm doing... Did you just hit your head on your microphone stand again?
You know what? Be kind.
I know. You're... I'm
going on my 9th day without a decent night's sleep.
Yeah, I know. I can tell. And I'm sorry. I know you're having a really rough go, but we almost didn't record today.
We almost didn't, but you know what I said about two? I said, I'm feeling it.
You texted me.
I did.
Let's go ahead and do this.
Because I'm feeling
it. Well, actually, first, you originally texted me. In response to, because I always have to text you, we're recording today, right?
Right.
And you texted me back, I could hear it.
Yeah, I know. I wasn't into it.
And then I said, well, you know, if today's not good for you, I know you're having a rough go of it, let me know.
Well,
back, can I ponder it for a while?
And to be fair, there's not been a death in the family. I'm not in physical pain. I'm not really having a bad go of it. It's just, I'm sick and tired of my sleeping machine. And it really, by now, I should be...
You mean your I'm not sleeping machine.
My I'm not sleeping machine. I should be feeling 10 feet tall with the strength of 10 men right now. And frankly, mm-hmm. I'm just not getting it. But that's not the reason we brought you here. Not at first. You also, if people having a bad go of it, you're having a bad go of it at your home.
I mean, all of it, your problems, my problems, could all be considered first world problems.
Of course, of course.
Right, right.
I mean, the fact that I have a machine... to help me sleep.
Yeah.
And it's not doing quite the job I want. Maybe I should have focused on the 43 years previous where I slept just fine. Sans machine. I've been told by this mysterious visitor from another world, from across the sea. She says to me, Dr. Sharu says, this is going to help you multifold. These are your problems. And she showed me a chart of how mm-hmm. I've been sleeping wrong all this time. And I've got no baseline to compare it to. I feel worse now than before we did the sleeping machine. And I think she might be some sort of huckster. Now she's up to no good.
You said you got a different kind of mask.
I did.
Okay. Why?
Well, because the other mask, I don't want to do this yet. I want to hear about, because you've got so much going on at your house. We should say, and this is for setup here, he's not here today. Dan is once again, mm-mm. He's not with us, so I cannot.
Oh. Danny Boy.
I do love so playing him in.
Yes.
And he's not here, and this is his second or third week.
You know what? It might be the third.
That he is not here, and yes. What am I to do but take it personally?
No, 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 no. No, he hurt his foot.
He hurt his foot?
Mm-hmm.
So he's at home nursing his foot?
I guess.
How did he did this today?
No. He told me about it yesterday.
Okay, what happened?
I don't know.
Well, what's he saying is the symptoms?
He thinks he broke... Well, he kept saying, I think I broke my toe. I think I broke my toe. Can you do you know anything about bro? And I was like, just let me see it. So I take a look at it. It's not his toe that hurts. Like, he kept talking about how his pinky toe hurts. It's like 3/4 of the way up his foot.
Yeah?
I think it's when he takes a step and the toe bends. That's when the pain is caused.
Sure. Well, anytime you aggravate anything, yeah.
I don't know,
So when
Rob.
Did the injury happen?
I don't know. He said, because he told me about it yesterday. I said, when did you do this? Because we worked outside all day yesterday. I assume.
You're positively glowing, by the way.
in a very bad way.
No, you're glowing. You're sunburned.
I am so sunburned.
Yeah.
I know. You could turn the lights off and I'll smile and just light up the room.
Yeah, you look like you might be powered from within.
I've got aloe with lidocaine.
Hey, and that'll help you with your vapors and also if you have the consumption.
Yes.
So when do you suppose he broke his foot using your detective skills?
Because he was telling me about this yesterday evening, I thought maybe he had done something while we were out working.
Right.
So I was like, what did you do? And he was like, I can't remember. And I was like, today? Oh, no, it's been like 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
It's been 2 weeks.
That he thinks his foot, if a bone has been broken for 2 weeks, you have to like re-break it.
Yeah. But he won't go to the doctor. And then I said, you know, you
I said,
really.
Doctor! Why is he? Is he doctor phobic?
No, he's an idiot.
Well, these are mutually exclusive situations.
So, you know what, Rob? I don't even know where to begin with all of this. I said, do we need to take you to the doctor? Have you, like, heard it further?
Do you guys have a doctor or would you have to go to, like, an emergency walk-in place?
We'd have to go. We don't have a doctor. We'd have to go somewhere.
You don't have a primary care physician?
No.
So you would have to go to, like, a walk-in, an urgent care place?
Right. And he says he refuses to do that.
Why?
He doesn't want to wait. I don't know. He's waited
it's
2 weeks.
It's urgent care.
I'm aware.
They would see him almost instantaneously.
So then about this time, is you know, we're having this little bit of a back and forth
right.
thing. I said, what did you do to it? And he says, I don't remember.
Okay, he's lying.
I have a theory.
All right, for those of you who are just joining us now on episode 17, if this doesn't make sense to you, go back and listen to episode 16 and come back. We'll wait for you. Until then. Wait, oh yes, wait a minute, Mr. Postman. This situation continues to?
Oh, it went to DEFCON 5 this week.
Oh, that's getting a divorce.
Yes.
That's when I defined the levels of marriage.
It was, I believe some would say it came to a head.
Yes, oh dear.
We had quite the argument over it.
Okay, can you in
to the point that Dan slept on the couch one night. He wouldn't get in bed with me. He was so mad, I was so mad.
Would you have preferred him be in bed with you?
First of all, it doesn't matter to me. It's king size bed. I don't see him in there anyways because there's two dogs between us.
I understand. I understand. But so this is building on the fact that God, this is so rich with history and layers. But in a paragraph or two, because of all the catalogs that were delivered to Loom Weaverman's house, your mailbox fell down in the blizzard this winter.
Yes.
The mailbox was unattended for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You finally repaired it with a new crucifixion-styled stick.
Brand new mailbox, brand new everything.
But because you couldn't figure out a way to mount it, you tied it with a rope.
I did none of these things.
Okay, because one couldn't figure out a way to mount it. One mounted it with a rope.
He took a string. It's not even a rope.
Well,
he tied a string.
Will you give it cord?
Twine.
Okay, twine. Dan, I'm working for you, buddy. I think it might have been a cord.
It was twine.
So he tied it up. And then as
with a bow on top.
Of course, because you want it to be pretty.
I just realized I'm still mad.
Yeah. You're just realizing it?
I just realized.
Okay, people, for those of you keeping score at home, if you had Katie still mad, you win. You win.
So we talked about this last week.
Hold on. We're not done with the paragraph because remember, for people that are not, you know, following and hanging on our every word, then if you're not, shame on you. He was so mad at the mailman for leaving the door open on both sides of your mailbox.
Yes.
The entrance and the exit.
Uh-huh.
That he put the empty trash can in front of the mailbox.
Mm-hmm.
And the last we heard... the mailman, who we determined looks like Andy Rooney, even though he doesn't.
Right, but the mailman retaliated by not only leaving both of the mailbox doors open, he moved the garbage can to the middle of our driveway.
Middle of your driveway. And also, has it not been alleged that he's leaving everybody's mailbox open
there's
now?
If you drive through the neighborhood on any given day, there are quite a few open doors.
Okay, so now we've got our groundwork set. Where are we now, and why is Dan no longer in the marital bed?
No, he's back now.
Okay.
But on Monday, I believe it was, I went out to run some errands, and when I left the house, after we had been through the whole thing, and right. I said, put the damn trash can back into the garage.
And as a matter of fact, you had once caught him disobeying you to a point where you actually went to him and said, did you think I wasn't going to see it?
So garbage goes out Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
Garbage gets picked up Monday morning.
Right. Probably early.
Mm-hmm. Dan had gone out to get the mail.
Yes.
And I don't know what went through his head. He put the garbage can in front of the mailbox again.
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 Okay.
So I'm leaving the house and I get maybe two streets down from the house and it is in my craw. And I pulled over and I called him and I said, did you think I wasn't going to see that you put the garbage can back in front of the mailbox?
So you called him on the phone to yell at him?
I pulled over.
Okay.
And he's like, no, I mean,
yeah.
And I was like, go get the damn garbage can and put it back in. And then I got home and it was still there. So then the next night.
Yes, it's Tuesday now.
Is recycling night.
Yes.
Where you put the bins out.
Sure. Now, luckily, so far, the bins have stayed totally out of this.
Because Dan can't remember to put the recycling out.
Okay.
That's why they haven't come into play.
Or does Dan just not think recycling is important?
No, the recycling is on the other side of the garage, so we don't ever see it.
So you forget about
like
it.
Like the bins.
Out of sight, out of
yeah,
mind.
We, neither of us can remember to put the recycling. Okay, but it is his job, though, but neither of us can remember.
Okay.
So he puts the recycling out. People come, take away the zip-zang, the cans, and Dan goes out to get the mail. And I'm just take a guess at what the next thing that I saw was.
Recycle bins in front of the mailbox?
Ding, 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 ding.
Thank you. So kind.
And this is when the hit the fan.
Okay.
That's when I got mad.
Ballistic.
Yes. This is like in the morning. So then I'm yelling. I'm like, and you promised that you were going to fix the mailbox so it's not held on there with a piece of string. So I go out there with a hammer and a nail, and I'm like trying to nail it in there and everything. But we don't have the right size nails. But the worst part was I couldn't find the hammer, and it's my hammer.
Right.
Right. I did find the hammer yesterday, but it's because he can't put things back where they belong. So it's a whole thing.
If you had a hammer, you'd hammer in the morning.
I would hammer at night.
You need to take a breath because you're spinning out into other issues now.
It's the truth.
I know.
This is my entire week. So we're still a Tuesday morning.
Yes.
Okay. And I'm out there with a different hammer, and then I've got like the staple gun, and then I'm like looking for nails. And finally, I just go back inside, and I was probably yelling things that aren't appropriate for broadcast.
Yeah. Well, you mean you were.
And then Dan is like, I'm going to Home Depot. I was like, fine.
Don't come back. Oh, no. Yeah. Now, is that like when he says that, do you think, oh, God, this is somehow his next play? Because, I mean, who cares?
No, he was going to go so he could get the pro, because we didn't have the right kind of nails.
I see.
Attach a fix.
So in a way, this is a win for you.
It doesn't matter. Can't find my hammer.
You'll
I'm mad. I found it yesterday.
Good.
When I was looking for his work gloves because he couldn't find them. Because why? He didn't put them back where they were supposed to go.
A place for everything and everything in its place. I'm a big fan of it.
Some people, I have been accused.
Yes.
Of being OCD.
Okay. Now there you're opening up another can of worms here.
I just like things the way they need to be. And if they aren't that way, I get anxious.
I've come to that realization one step closer where my statement is, I just like things to be the way I want them to be.
Precisely.
And you know what?
It works for me.
I
don't think it's so much OCD as it is I get anxiety.
Yeah, because you want...
Over the top anxiety.
because you've set things up the way you want them to be. You're really getting worked up.
You're sitting here.
Your fists are clenched.
I have my fist.
This situation is largely over, though.
Well, it got
even though Dan is at home with an elevated foot because he broke it sometime during the Reagan administration.
I think he kicked the mailbox.
You don't really think this. Is he a kicker?
Yes.
Really?
I have seen him kick things. I have seen him throw things.
This would explain everything. This would explain the pain. This would explain the hurt. Mm-hmm. And this would also explain the fact that he's pretending not to know why his foot is broken, mm-hmm. because deep down he's embarrassed.
Either that or he just doesn't remember.
No, like,
I think he remembers. I think he kicked the mailbox.
You know he knows how he did it.
Dan drinks sometimes. I mean, he could have done it like in a stupor.
He's not. I know him decently.
Okay, I know he doesn't get into stupors. I get it. I understand. But
he kicked the mailbox, and he's ashamed.
Probably.
Either that.
That's my theory. I think he kicked the mailbox.
Maybe he got into some sort of dust up with the mailman that you don't know about.
No, that's like a fed. Like the feds are coming after you.
Yeah, maybe it was like the video for Beat It, where like some other guy, I don't know, like the dog catcher, he would have been the third one. They tied their hands together.
Oh my God.
And then there's a what do you call it? A rumble.
A scuffle.
No, I'm trying to keep it cool, Debbie.
Oh.
A scuffle.
Yeah.
So there's a, yeah.
Rob's
come
keeping
to me,
it cool.
Come to me when you want to keep it cool. Mm-hmm. So if he did kick the mailbox 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. that would be.
Probably with flip-flops on.
That would be right after he tied it with the rope.
Exactly.
Well, I'm glad you solved this, JB.
I think this is
what happened.
So, I haven't been watching every single Murder, She Wrote for all these years not to learn a thing or two.
It pays off. So he's at home with his broken foot. Do you think it's broken, really?
I think he probably broke a bone in his foot.
It's not funny.
I'm not joking, though.
Oh.
I really think he broke
a
bone.
You got to get him to the doctor then.
He, at this point, can take his damn self to the doctor. I tried.
Yeah, you did. But you know what? You know, sickness and in health. You made a promise.
He's bigger than I am. I can't take him someplace he doesn't want to go.
Katie, a Samsung phone is bigger than you are. He's your husband. You've got to watch out for him. He's going.
I tried.
You know what's
going
to happen? Bruising, the toe will turn black, and then his foot will fall off.
He's already talking about like how his this is the worst part. Because he didn't tell me that he hurt his foot until yesterday.
Yes.
But he started complaining about his knee hurting about a week ago.
Yeah, well, because the break is spreading.
Well, no, I was like, you know, when he told me about this yesterday and I was kind of like feeling along the sides of his foot. And yes. I was like, you know, when did you do this? And he said about 2 weeks ago. And I was like, Dan. This is why you can't. This is why your knee hurts. You're
yes.
favoring it.
Of course.
He was like, probably.
He's a mess.
And
does the mailbox still have a rope on it?
Okay, so there was quite the battle.
Right.
At our home, he did affix the mailbox to the post the way properly with nails
or nails
with whatever
okay.
it was. I don't know. But it's not shaky anymore.
Good. The shaking has stopped.
But he left the bow on it out of principle. And that is a battle I am not going to fight.
The man has lost his mind. You don't leave a rope on your mailbox out of principle.
He's at war with this mailman.
Well, I got news for you. Even if he is at war, the army's not going to take him.
Rob.
Because his foot's broken.
Rob. You heard like the insanity of what has happened with him in the if Dan wants to leave a bow tied around our mailbox, by golly, just let him.
I guess.
He is a strange bird that way.
It's once again, we've discussed this in the past. The passive aggressive male and the battles they choose.
So that all told, that was about 3 days of my week.
But other than that.
No, that's what led to the culmination of me having like a royal, I was thinking I might be having a nervous breakdown.
Oh, your royal OCD meltdown.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk about that too.
Sure.
Okay, let's take a break. Everybody get your pills. And we'll be back right after this. It's Cake and Cookies on the More broadcasting system. It's a system, right?
Is it? No.
No. Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment Broadcast System. Yes. It's a system. Use it in Vegas. It can't miss.
Okay.
We're back after this. First, we jingle.
77 WABC. Another hour of music.
Not that jingle.
Petula Clark.
And not that jingle either.
1630 KCJJ.
Can't do anything right today. Oh, wait. Have to wait for beeps.
Cake and Cookies, the podcast that has nothing to do with cake or cookies. It's Rob and Katie.
Sorry, that's our okay. Beeps.
First
Walker.
Of all, you can't. You have to stop calling dude beeps.
Well, what if it's a sign of affection? I think very highly of the man.
Why do you like make fun of the fact that Dan calls me beeps?
Okay.
Have I ever told you how that came about?
Okay. First of all, it's really cute.
Mm-hmm.
And second of all...
Especially because he doesn't think about it. He does it in public. And he's like, hey, babes.
Yeah, and there's that too. And also, you know, maybe I'm a little jealous. Maybe I want to have someone I can call Biebs.
Hey, Biebs. No.
It doesn't seem right.
Okay.
All right. But anyway, how did it come about, Biebs?
We used
to... Oh, I'm not allowed to call you Biebs. Only allowed
right.
to call Dude Walker Biebs.
No. I am Biebs.
Can you call Dude Walker Biebs?
If I wanted to.
Can... Oh, wait. Can you call Dan Biebs?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can Dan call Dude Walker
Biebs? But it's spelled differently.
Why?
Okay, see, the way that it came about, it was a texting error. He tried to call me. He was like, hey, Biebs. And he wrote B-E-B-E-S. And I was like, Biebs?
Should have autocorrected that.
And so then it went from there. And then he was like, that doesn't look right. So we started, it's B-E-E-S. BS.
Okay.
It's the feminine version.
Oh.
So,
but of course. I didn't realize that you were going gender specific.
Yes, I am Biebs. And he's just Biebs.
I understand now.
Uh-huh.
Kind of like for a long time. Did your paths at WJFK cross with Brian Cosgrove?
Yeah.
You knew him, right?
I never worked with him.
But the
yes.
Whenever we ordered pizza, the computer system... He ordered the first pizza after they installed the computer system. I think it was Pizza Hut. So they'd ask for your address, and you'd say 10800 Main Street, and they'd say, "Yes, is this Brain?"
Because
transposed the letters in Brian to be yes. Brain. So every time we got a pizza delivered to WJFK,
it came to Brain. Nice.
Yeah, because of all the smart people that worked there.
Not money.
So anyway, the house today, she is quiet. The Rob Radio World Broadcast Headquarters. Carrie's at work because it's a holiday weekend. It's Memorial Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's not here. Robert's up in his room playing Xbox. And
wait, he's here?
Yes.
Oh, he's quiet as a mouse.
Well, he's two floors up, door shut, headphones on, playing Xbox with, I don't know, the Nerd Patrol.
Uh-huh.
So they're...
God bless him.
They're doing whatever kids do
yeah.
with their Xbox. But... Julia, now this is something new this year.
I drove past what I suspected was going on.
Yeah, and yes. It's not hard to figure out because it is Memorial Day weekend, the unofficial start of summer. And Julia came to me yesterday at about noon and she said, Dad, can I go to the pool? And I was about to say what I always say is, well, I don't have a chance to drive you right now. I'm doing something. And she says, because a fella asked her to the pool and that she would walk.
Oh.
Now, she used to bitch and moan
it's
and complain.
It's not that far.
No, but it's further than walking to her elementary school, and she used to hate to do that.
Mm-hmm. But but she didn't like boys in elementary school.
And so now, first of all, there is a boy in this tale.
And we
don't want to refer to him by name, so we need to figure out a way to refer to him.
You know, this is funny. When I was first starting to like the boys.
Yes. This is like 2 years ago.
Uh-huh. I would come up with nicknames for them. Biebs. So if I was talking to my girlfriends on the phone or whatever,
sure, uh-huh.
my parents couldn't figure out who I was talking about.
Okay, do you remember any of these nicknames that existed?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There was Pretty Boy. There was Sem, spelled C-E-M.
How did you come up with Sem?
He'd like mow the lawn in the cemetery.
Okay.
And if anyone in my family listens to this, they're going to think it's a different boy that mowed the lawn in the cemetery.
After 17 episodes, don't worry, no one's listening.
We lived close to a cemetery, and they always hired high school boys.
Yes.
To mow and take care and trim.
So did Liberace.
Somebody had to do it.
Of course.
The first one.
It was one of the few positions at the place that wasn't horizontal.
They would never in a million years guess which one it was.
Why don't you just reveal it?
No, I can't.
Do you have a photo of him to this day? Why would you? That's a stupid question.
In my wallet.
Is he on the Facebook?
I don't know. I never looked him up.
Hey, maybe he advanced and he actually runs the cemetery now.
I think he's probably a little more successful than
maybe
that.
Maybe he graduated with a career in mortuary sciences.
Doubtful.
This boy loves corpses.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the one they think.
Mm-mm.
Sam, really? You probably could have done better than that.
Come on. I was like 12.
Call him Tombstone.
That's a little more obvious.
Okay, how about shovel?
No.
Box?
Weed whacker.
Mower. In the midnight hour, she cries, mower, mower, mower. We'll call him Billy Idol. So his name was Sam.
There was Bat Boy.
Maybe. You know what? Maybe they thought he had to do with typing because of the semicolon and the home keys.
You never know.
Who was Pretty Boy? Did he know Fancy Lad?
No, but he was so handsome.
Was he?
Yes.
Is he still?
Uh-huh.
You're still in touch with this one.
No, not in touch, but he actually lives in the Washington, D.C. area. And there's a group of people. It's not somebody that I actually talk to.
It's a group of people that are all very pretty?
No, it's like an alumni type group
that
meets up.
Was he short?
No.
Wow, so he's pretty perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did he have any extracurricular activities, Pretty Boy?
He played lacrosse.
He played lacrosse. Of course he did. Yes. Meanwhile, the other guys pulling up dandelions.
Yeah, and I was in the band.
So
nobody was looking my direction. I was in the band. I had braces. It was a terrible, terrible time.
All right, so let's call this kid Sam.
No.
No?
We gotta call him something. Can we call him Pizza Boy?
Pizza Boy is good. Yes, let's call him Pizza Boy.
Okay.
Because here's what happens. Is yesterday, Julia says, can I go to the pool? I'll walk. I said, okay, that's fine. And
did you know, like, there was probably incentive for her to walk?
Because she said that Pizza Boy had invited her.
Oh, he invited her.
Yeah, but he didn't provide transport. He just invited her.
Well, can he drive?
No, he's 13.
Exactly. What's he going to do? Like,
also,
put her on his handlebars and pedal her down to the pool?
God, I hope you're not speaking in code. He lives a lot closer
to
the pool than we do, so it's easy for him.
To do what?
To get to the pool, to walk
right.
to the pool.
Okay.
So anyway.
Oh, you wanted him to walk here.
No,
and get
no.
Her.
At this point, my head's not even in that space.
Your head is spinning.
It's spinning a little bit because all I've got is that
my baby girl.
Pizza Boy called, and there's going to be some kids at the pool. Can I walk there? Sure. Go ahead. This is a little afternoon. I get a text from her that she's there.
Mm-hmm.
I get a text from her later on. Things are going well. And at 6 o'clock, I get a text from her that says, can you come get me soon?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, you know, you walk to the pool. It's still daylight. The weather is fine. So what I text back is, it's your responsibility to get yourself home. You can walk. She replies, all right.
Is his house on the way here?
No, it's on the other side.
That's good.
So,
well, I mean, I guess it's good.
She gets home.
Good for you, bad for her.
She gets home and I say, how was it? She says it was a good time. And she rolls down a list of people that were there. Most of the names of kids I know.
Including
PB.
Pizza Boy. Yeah, PB.
PB. And hey, you know what? They would be PB and J, wouldn't they?
Oh my God. Oh my God. It was meant to be.
We just made the name up.
It was meant to be.
We just meant the name up. So it doesn't work.
Oh,
so
boy.
So she gets home at 6 and I say, you must be starved.
Mm-hmm.
She says, not really, because Pizza Boy bought me lunch. And then the bricks start coming together like a game of Tetris.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm starting to realize, oh my God, she is now old enough to walk to the pool, stay at the pool. And this young, and I'll say it, good looking kid who I actually approve of. I've known him
mm-hmm.
for many years. He's a nice boy from a good family, and I wouldn't care if he was her first sweetheart. He's bought her lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And this all of a sudden is
well,
a lot.
Her pizza. That's where the whole thing came from.
Yeah, from Pizza
yeah.
Boy. So what has happened here is this has gone from an innocent day at the pool to me thinking ahead, this is becoming a dating atmosphere.
Yes.
And it's flipping me out a little bit. That's all.
It's sweet.
And she got up today and she said, can I, normally,
PB&J.
She does not grace us on a weekend until 1 p.m. unless she smells bacon. That's the only way we can get her downstairs.
I love that girl.
But she is downstairs this morning at about 9:30, which is granted no great thrill there, but that's still pretty good for her.
What time does the pool open?
I don't even know the hours, but the first thing she said is, can I go walk to the pool today? I said, okay. I said, is he going to be there? Yes. And so I gave her money so she could buy lunch today.
Did you give her enough money that she would buy him lunch?
Yes, of course.
Okay, because she can't owe him something.
No, no, no. And besides, as I was told last night when we ordered pizza for dinner, she said, by the way, PB had a pizza code, any large for $10. Oh. Said, oh, well, isn't he something? Good for PB. And I ended up ordering, of course, as you know, I have to find, well, who was it? Was it Gary Chesney?
No, it was Gary Chesney. That's Kenny Chesney.
I'm sorry.
I got confused.
I got the Blake Shelton barbecue pizza. I think they serve it.
Awful, by the
serve
way.
It in a licorice hat.
You mean like a 10-gallon hat?
No, no. We've talked about this on the Mike O'Mara show. Is the new hot thing with country singers is they wear those shiny black hats.
Oh, they look like they're made of licorice.
Yeah. So the Blake Shelton barbecue pizza, because naturally when you think country music, you think pizza.
Of course.
I don't get it.
I don't either.
It was delicious. Fine. I give it a real... DEFCON 2.5.
Oh, nice.
On the pizza. So,
two thumbs up.
Two thumbs way off to the side, and that's where we're at. And as far as the house being quiet, that is why. And if I said I wasn't a little bit flipped out, I'd be lying.
So how'd you sleep last night?
Not good. But that has nothing to do with Julie. It has to do with the new mask.
Okay.
You want to go there now?
Sure.
All right, we'll
talk
about...
That's not what I was going to... But yes, we can talk about that.
We'll talk about your life falling apart in just a moment.
Okay.
I got the...
thanks.
The CPAP machine. See if you can't hold it together for a little bit.
Just a little bit.
The CPAP machine, as you know, the machine, we discussed this in the past. I had the sleep studies. It was a chaos. We did all of that stuff. And... on last week's episode of The Cake and the Cookies, I showed you my mask, which was the modified wisp mask, which just covers the nose.
Yeah. It looked sort of like Bozo with a tube coming out of it.
And the problem with the wisp, and I think I alluded to it on the last episode, is that because it only covers my nose, the air that was blowing in was making my nose cold and then forcing air in my mouth and making me go...
does that in her sleep.
And well, yeah, but she doesn't have a very expensive machine to cause it. She's just naturally self-sufficient.
Well, she has a very big nose.
So, snoot. Her nose is normal.
It's a snoot.
And so I called the place, not the mysterious doctor from the East, but the place that gives me the equipment. And I said, hey,
okay,
you said that if I had problems with my mask, you could help me out. And they said, absolutely, you can come in tomorrow. And I said, really? That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Now, so, are these like one size fits all type
no,
masks?
They are.
Are they fitted?
S, M, and L. And
you're definitely an L.
I am an L, and they measured
me. Yeah, the biggest noggin ever.
So I went in and I sat down, and she had a whole bunch of disembodied heads in the office that have all the masks on them.
Not freaky.
Now, I didn't go through this in the past because
Hannibal,
the man, once said, this is going to be a chaos. He said, this is the mask for you. It's excellent. And that way you don't have to have a full face mask. You are going to like this. Well, guess what? I hated it. So I got the new mask and I have it with me right now.
The big reveal. Dun, 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 dun.
It's like, this is the worst level of show business that when I hide stuff from you, I put it in the drawer of my desk.
It's, yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now I remove the hose.
Yeah.
I'll take my headphones off. This is going to be fun once again. I'll take a picture of the mask, but not me in the mask. Not proud of it.
Yeah. Every once in a while, Rob gets shy.
Yeah.
Wow. That is like a gas mask mask.
Yeah. It's like Bane.
Yeah.
And it's fitted with the, hold on, I don't know how I sound. It's fitted with Velcro.
You sound great.
Yeah, I'm sure I do.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we need more compressors. So it actually hooks on like this.
Uh-huh. Okay, okay.
Like this.
So when Rob is saying like this and like this, there's a strap that goes...
on either side.
There's a strap that goes around the sort of top portion of the back of his head,
right.
And then also that comes down below his ears.
The only way I can describe
across
the way
his cheeks,
the way the actual mask looks, it looks like a cup.
that you would wear.
Yeah.
If you were a catcher. Listen to me. Anyway.
It looks like a catcher's cup.
Doesn't taste like it.
Well, that's...
I'm guessing. I don't know. But it covers my entire nose and down under my chin.
It actually looks like you're being given oxygen.
The whistle. Because I've taken the hose off, you see.
Right.
So I have to wear this all night. Uh-huh. And guess what? It's not comfortable at all. It's worse than the other one was as far as comfort. However, it's better in that because I'm breathing with my mouth, the internal temperature of the mask, and I would say it holds about a half to three quarters of a cup of whatever.
Okay.
It stays temperate so my nose doesn't get cold. So I'm okay with that.
I'm sorry your nose was getting cold.
I know. Who wants that?
I don't know.
I wake up and say, boy, I'd kill for a cup of hot cocoa right now.
But my nose was so cold.
I said, doctor, they said, you are not breathing 27 times a minute. I said, but my nose is freezing.
I said, doctor.
I said, the credibility. I said, doctor. So this doesn't have the hose hanging from it. I left the unit up in the bedroom. And so this is the new mask, and it is not comfortable, and there are several problems at play. I'm going to take this off now.
Thank you.
To the delight of everybody.
Now I have a question.
Please, I'll entertain a question.
Is the how long have you had this new one?
This new one, I'm going on, I think, night five with it.
And it's not any better than when you first got it.
First of all, feel it. It's amazingly light, and it's clean. I washed it actually just yesterday.
Oh, it weighs nothing.
And the plastic, the rubber.
They've got an L on the side, as if you didn't know.
For large.
Yes.
And it should by all rights be very comfortable.
And it's pliable. It's very, very soft.
First problem, and I have to quote Steve Bridges on this because he brought up something very valid once. He said, it's not fair that you should have to battle gray hair and acne at the same time. But as you know, I am getting all gray in my beard. I just shaved my beard off. But as you can see, I'm going to have a lovely breakout on my nose where that rubber is held to my face every night. And they never warned you in eighth grade health class that zits hurt. But they can really hurt.
What, have you never had a zit before?
No, but I'm telling you that when I was preparing to get them, when I was a much younger man,
right,
they talk about how they're caused by blocked pores and oil and everything. Mm-hmm. But they never tell you that they hurt. Well, this is one of the ones that's boiling under the surface.
So it's like you have a sofa under your skin.
Exactly. Yeah. And the sofa wants out.
Yes.
It wants out. And so that's, not only does it hurt.
You can't even remotely, it's one of, oh, that's the worst. You can't even see it.
But I can feel it.
Oh.
And it
go
hurts.
Go like this. Wrinkle your nose. How's that feel?
Like horrible. But the problem is that not only does it hurt.
I don't mean to laugh at your pain. Yes, I do.
Yes, you do. It's kind of what the show's all about.
I know.
So not only does it hurt all day, but at night I have to put rubber on and hold against it tight enough to form a hermetic seal. All right?
Here's what I think you need to do.
What? Shoot myself?
No, there's the Neosporin pain relief.
Yeah. Again, you with the pain relieving cream.
I love the stuff.
Sure you do.
But not the one that's, get the cream kind.
Not the gel.
Not the gel kind.
Okay.
But that stuff is great for the hurtful blemishes.
Well, I've already put, I feel like I'm 13 again.
Did you get the Clearasil?
I put benzoyl peroxide on my face. Well, what can you do?
You can put Neosporin on it.
I don't have it. I'll get it. I promise.
How do you not have Neosporin?
Okay. Imagine a house that has Neosporin in it. Okay.
Uh-huh.
That's not my house. That's how it happens.
You have two kids, a dog, your whole family. How does a family not have Neosporin? Neosporin's like the best stuff ever. It cures everything.
Maybe we used it all because the house is so busy. We're out.
Perhaps, perhaps you need a gift other than flowers. I'll try to be more considerate next week.
You brought flowers and they're gorgeous. I thank you.
You're welcome.
Maybe I could use one of the thorns from the roses to pop this zit.
Careful with that.
Very tricky. Okay, but the other problem is that apparently deep down, almost in my subconscious, I hate this mask.
Right.
Four nights this week, I have woken up in the morning with the mask off and no recollection of taking it off.
You're just taking it off in your sleep.
And it's not the kind of thing that you can just sort of like roll out of. I have to undo two hooks.
There's like a whole thing. It's a contraption.
One morning I woke up and it was hanging on the knob of my nightstand.
Oh, you put that there.
So I was like sleep taking off, like sleepwalking. And then, you know, it's this morning I did the best. This morning I made it to like 4:30. And I woke up.
Now,
and
are you taking your Ambien when you're going to bed?
Well, I've tried that. I can't really do Ambien during the week because Ambien will make me feel groggy for a good 8 or 9 hours.
Yeah.
And I leave to go to DC at 7.
Right.
So I would have to take the Ambien by like 10. And I don't want to get behind the wheel of a car feeling all dopey. And
I certainly did,
don't
want to.
And I don't
want to
do the O'Mara show feeling all dopey.
Yeah.
But Friday night.
I don't know. Maybe it'd be funnier.
How could that be? So Friday
not
night,
possible.
Friday night, I took the Ambien and the mask was off. Saturday night, I took the Ambien on top of a bottle of wine. So I did very good. And when I woke up this morning.
Oh, and it was still on?
At about 4:30.
Okay.
And I remember this. I remember thinking, I can take this off now because I'm about to get up because it's 4:30. So I knew I was cognitive enough to know.
Why would you think that you, that was
but
just not
cognitive okay. enough to know to actually do math. So I think taking the mask off.
Oh, 4:30. I'm about to brew some coffee.
That's right. I have time to get up.
On Sunday morning, I got to get up and see Charles Osgood.
Gotta go chop the wood. So I think it's a step in the right direction. At least I was aware that I took the mask mm-hmm. off. Another night this week. And I don't even know which one. Carrie woke up and said, what is that noise? And why is he snoring? What had happened?
Oh.
I think instead of taking the mask off, I just unhooked the tube. And again, I don't remember this happening.
So you still had the mask on?
Yeah, I don't remember any of this. I'm snoring through the mask.
Right, which is probably like a...
Like it would have to sound.
And then the whistle.
Yeah, it would have sounded like this. It would have sounded like. And so
can you do me a favor?
Sure.
Can you put that on and say, Luke, I am your father.
Luke, I stopped breathing 27 times a minute.
So. What Carrie awoke to, and again, I'm hearing all of this in retrospect. It's being told to me after the fact.
Carrie, she didn't wake you up?
No, and you would think I would have been woken up because what she did, and she says, and what's that noise? Because she also hears...
Because the machine is...
Because the tube is unhooked, and it's just blowing around. Blowing around like a cobra getting ready to strike.
Wait, just like one of those balloon people at like a car dealership.
Exactly, the flap around guy.
Flap around guy.
So she wakes up, there's snoring, and the pipe is just dancing. What is that noise? And it's a combination of and she, and I know her, she probably just said, good God. And she gets up out of bed, grabs the flapping hose, snaps it in, and then, of course, the snoring stops.
Oh, snaps it into your face mask?
Yeah, because it clicks in like a vacuum attachment.
She's just going to say, it's a boom.
Yeah, thunk. It is. You know, like when you do a vacuum hose, you have to like push in two tabs.
She didn't even bother to wake you up.
No.
Oh, my head hurts. I laughed too hard.
But, you know, that's what it's like. We've been together nearly 20 years now. The last thing she wants to add to the cocktail of is me awake. So she just snaps it in.
She just wants some peace and quiet.
God, no, God knows. The only reason I went down this whole road anyway is so she could sleep. She'll say she's concerned that I stop breathing 27 times a minute, but that's not really her concern. Her concern is my snoring. And the snoring could be you know, not a result of me stopping breathing, but she wants it to stop. So she just reaches over, and then with the same amount of effort she would have putting a brush on the end of a vacuum tube, mm-hmm. she snaps me back in, and the
you don't even
that stops, and
you
the
don't
snoring
even flinch.
Stops. No, but still, I wake up in the next morning, and somehow the CPAP fairy has taken the mask off and hung it on my nightstand. So I don't know what to do, because I really, really like the idea of this machine helping me to feel better always. But if I can't keep it on my face, and if I'm running around looking like a 15-year-old with a bad complexion, really, where's the payoff?
Stay with it.
I will. Well, here's another thing. We've been married long enough that Carrie says, fine, bring it back. Just take it back. Give up. Give up. Bring it back. Because she's the one who gets the bulk of the complaints.
Well,
she's
yeah,
there when I go to bed, and she's there when I wake up.
And no offense, you're a little crispy.
I am. And it's not helping that now this is what, day 9, day 10 of not having a night of sleep where I go to bed and then wake up at my normal time without incident. And even if my sleep sucked before, mm-hmm. at least it was contiguous. And I will also say that I really do want it to work, and I am going to stay with it, but the not having the sleep is tough.
Yeah.
I do not like it.
Yeah.
So I really hope it comes to pass soon where it's going to help me out. But
you
right
know what
now,
they
I'm,
call this?
What's that?
First world problem.
I know. My sleeping machine is not helping me sleep. I had to trade out one very expensive sleeping machine mask for another.
I just stick with it.
I will. And I promise I will.
I hope that I think maybe eventually you'll get used to it, because when I first busted my jaw,
right,
I have a bit, it's not like a regular night guard uh-huh. that people sleep in. It's this big old plate.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even that I had to sleep in it when I first had it for about almost the first year.
Uh-huh.
I had to wear it all the time.
Mm.
I had to eat with it. I had to talk with it. It was an... Eventually, it took forever, but eventually I got used to it.
That's one thing the doctor said. They said, you know, maybe the reason you're not enjoying it is you're not used to it. Maybe you should just wear it around the house. I said, okay.
Did they really?
I've got two kids and a wife. I could never do it.
Well, you could have today.
I could have today, but I couldn't really, could I?
Why not?
Because Robert, he'd laugh. He'd point and laugh. He's 11. It's the funniest thing in the world.
Yeah, but he's not coming out of his room. I didn't even know he was here.
Oh, by the way, when I got the replacement mask, Robert asked for the old one.
Why?
I don't know. Who's wearing it yesterday? It was pretty funny.
So, it's like solidarity.
Yeah, I suppose that's it.
Yeah,
like when a father shaves his head when a kid has cancer.
Yeah, so you'd be like, hey, buddy, why don't you go put your mask on? Because let's just do this together. And then you watch a movie together.
I suppose.
Or something long, like Around the World in 80 Days. And he's used to it, and you're used to it. And at some point, everyone stops laughing.
Now, do you have time in a modicum of moments you could tell us about your OCD breakdown?
Sure.
Good.
Let me, I took some notes. We moved into the house in August.
Right.
The living room is still not unpacked.
That's, really?
I don't need any more pressure from you because I'm putting enough on myself.
The only thought, I didn't think to pressure you. I just thought that
we don't go in that room, and I don't know what to do with it.
You don't have a lot of stuff.
There's enough stuff to put in there, but I would need to get I need a new stereo.
Okay. Okay.
A receiver and speaker system because, right. Oh my God, this has been building up for years.
Okay. Shh. It's going to be okay.
Yeah. Okay. We can, I don't know which story to tell. Okay, so remember, I think I told you once, Dan and I, when we first lived together.
Right, in Sin.
Yes, in Sin. We lived in an apartment in Alexandria.
Right, right.
And there was a mouse problem.
Right, vermin.
On the 10th floor.
You know what I would have called the mouse? Daniel von Vermin. I'm sorry.
So there was like a serious rodent problem.
Right.
In this whole entire building.
And I hate serious rodents. If a rodent has a sense of humor.
It's nothing like a rodent who can't take a joke.
Nothing. So, no riddles, no puns.
Nothing. So they got to the point where the rodents were ballsy. So I get home from work. I sit down. I take off my shoes. I sit down on the sofa.
Right.
And I see a mouse. It doesn't walk. It doesn't scurry. It flippin' sauntered across the living room in front of me.
By the way, ballsy rodents are playing at Gabe's this weekend. No coverage charge.
I am in shock.
Well, of course. He's not, you know what the deal is? It's like that episode of Seinfeld with the squirrel. He's not living up to his part of the bargain.
No.
The mouse is allowed to be there, but he should be scared of you and evasive.
And it wasn't just one, because I could hear them in the walls at night.
They had a band.
Mm-hmm. Drummer was terrible.
And here's where it was a ska band.
And they would occasionally run across the bed while we were sleeping.
That would be a situation where if it happened once, I would no longer be there. I couldn't do that.
Where else were we going to go?
Well, you could complain to the landlord or...
This is the best part. So we complained to the company that like ran the whole building and everything.
And you found out it was a mouse owned and operated company.
No, the landlord. You are so tired. You don't even know where you are. What's my name?
Katie Powers Von
Trap.
You call the number.
Von Mousetrap.
Ring. Phone picks up here. And you go, Dan, the place is owned by mice.
So here's the best part. We were renting this apartment. It was a condo that his parents owned. Okay. So they went through this like management company. So we called the management company to complain about the mice. And they said, oh, you're on the 10th floor. You can't possibly have a mouse problem. And we're like, the hell we don't.
Wow.
So they were like, maybe just one. You know,
right.
So, and then this is the best part. We will have the exterminator come in. We don't want you to put down traps because we have special things that we put down, blah, 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 blah. So I respected that for 2 days. In the meantime, I am not sleeping. I am sick to my stomach.
Of course.
And so we're telling his parents about this because they own the place. So finally his mom calls.
Right.
And she is the most unflappable person I have ever met. She is the coolest cucumber.
Right.
Love that about her. She still can't talk about it without like her face turning red and her fist shaking. So she calls and they try to tell her that someone down the hall had a pet mouse that got loose and that her tenants were overreacting. So I'm sitting there, this mouse saunters over.
Right.
And he walks across in front of the television and he...
Changes the channel?
No, he walks right into the subwoofer. Like the little hole in the front of the subwoofer.
That allows the air to pass so it can make the rich bass beat sound.
At which point I think, oh God. Because I know a couple things. All one, that is the only entrance and exit to that speaker.
Right.
I know that he can't get out anywhere else.
It's not like your mailbox.
Mm-mm. And I somehow have to figure out how to...
Block it?
Yes.
Okay.
But I don't want to get too close.
Of course not.
No!
Cause trouble.
So I'm like, what do I have that can go over? Because the like speaker cover part stuck out a little bit.
Sure.
So I need something that's just going to go over that little hole. So I'm like, oh, the coaster. So I take a coaster, and it's at the end of the love seat.
Yes.
So I walk across the sofa over to the love seat. I'm standing on the love seat, and I put my feet on the arm of the love seat.
Right.
And I'm standing like that. And I bend down, like squatting, with my feet on the arm of the love seat. And I lean over, and I just, doop.
Right.
Push the coaster against...
Right, you're leaning it, yeah.
But I'm hanging over in the squatted position.
It's like Indiana Jones.
Right. And then I think, crap, when is Dan getting home? Because I can't stay this way forever.
No, you can't.
No, and God forbid I move even just the slightest little bit because he could just squeak right out.
Absolutely.
So, just about the time I start to like really break a sweat...
Right.
I don't know. I somehow like get the phone. I scoot it. It was on the other end of the couch. I scoot it with my foot and I call Dan. I'm like, Dan, I need you to, I don't care if you're speeding. I don't care.
Right.
Like, just get home now.
Right.
And he's like, why? What's going on? I'm like, I can't even begin to describe this, but it's the mice. Just get home. So he opens the door, and this is what he sees.
Right.
It's the straight sight line of the front door. He starts laughing so hard that he can't help me. Oh. He's like,
he's become useless.
It's debilitating.
Of course.
And I was like, just get me duct tape. Just get me duct tape. And he's like, okay. Where's the duct tape? And I'm like, I have been this way for 15 minutes.
And you want to kill him.
Yeah. So he gets the duct tape, and we duct tape the coaster to the thing. We take it down to like the garbage bay, untape the coaster, turn the thing and just like give it a little push. Expecting the mouse to like
shoot out,
right? Nothing happens. So we're just standing there and we wait, and I like hit the side of it and give it like a little kick, and I'm like making noise, and
mouse is happy as a clam in there.
Until Dan says, are you sure you got him?
Oh no.
Exactly. So then I'm like, I don't know how he could have gotten out. I mean, I didn't.
Right.
I didn't move, and I didn't see. I mean, I guess I could have like blinked.
Right.
But he walked so slowly over to it.
Right.
I don't see him being a runner.
Right.
And I was just like, I don't. I mean, and I am so worked up.
Yeah, fit to be tied.
Oh shit.
Like the mailbox.
Right. So, and I'm sorry that I'm telling this story and not how I had a breakdown at the end of this week. This is how things build up for me.
Our show is like Pulp Fiction.
All right.
Told out of order.
Exactly. So, and I will bring it back.
Good.
Okay. Just maybe not as timely as you wanted me to.
Yeah, it'll be next week, but I'm sure we'll get to it.
So we're standing there like talking, and at this point, it's dark.
Right.
There are some like floodlights.
Sure.
Like security lights and everything.
Black as pitch though.
And the next thing we know, we're like, I don't know. Like, and Dan's like, well, let's take it back inside. I was like, the hell, it's coming back inside.
You got to hear the mouse come out.
And then finally we hear, and it shoots off of, and I mean, it was like an 8-foot drop off of the garbage bay out towards like these tennis courts. Dan and I both scream like girls, and we do not try to help each other. We run in opposite directions.
Now, who has the subwoofer?
It's on the ground.
Okay, so you didn't drop it. Thank God.
No, we put it on the ground. I wasn't touching it.
Of course.
I'm not holding it. No.
So he just launches himself. From
this mouse just shoots out, has no idea.
Flying right out there.
And then you can see him like running across these parking lots.
Briefly silhouetted against the moon, and then he's gone.
But the best part is neither Dan nor I will help each other. We both scream.
Oh,
like
you're
girls
gone. Yeah.
Just opposite directions. So I need a new stereo system.
Okay. And so that's
Dan wanted to bring, he was like, well, let's just take it back inside. I was like, the heck, he could have friends. That is not coming back inside.
What do you think? He like brought the friends in?
He could have been a she.
Oh, and he gave birth in there.
You never know.
Okay, so this is why you haven't unpacked your living room.
Right. Haven't unpacked the living room. And let me make this really quick.
Okay.
Haven't unpacked the living room. Living room is like my albatross. I think it could be really, really cool.
Right.
But I just don't know where to begin. And I'm all worked up about it. Plus, it's like springtime. So I have this inherent need to
clean.
Spring clean.
Sure.
Our yard is huge.
Right.
And very daunting.
Right.
As far as how much landscaping there is.
Well, you have to keep up the precedent that was set by Loom Weaverman.
Right. The Weavermans have set the bar high.
They have.
We worked all day in the yard yesterday. You can't tell that we did anything.
Okay, now that sucks.
We worked so hard. I am so sunburned. At one point, I was in that like that dirty, gritty, sweaty, sweat dripping off the tip of my nose.
Yeah.
Like, that's how hard we're working outside. The patio looks great.
Cool.
But I don't know about as far as the plants go.
Mm.
At one point, Dan, like, pulled something, and I was like, Dan, that's a rhododendron. Like,
pulled it out?
He was like, but it wasn't in the right place. And I was like, but it's still a rhododendron. Like, you don't
pull it out.
We're not pulling out trees. We're going for the weeds. Right. So like we don't know what the heck we're doing. And then there's the fact that like, I want to clean the house, like a thorough spring cleaning. Mm-hmm.
El scrubbo.
Wash all of the linens in the house. I want to do the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
But the house is so much bigger than anything that I've lived in ever in my life. Let's also be clear. I haven't lived in a real house.
Right.
Since I was 17.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I lived in a townhouse with Dan. And we lived on primarily two floors of it. It's also daunting.
So what are your plans for Memorial Day?
Well, yesterday we, yeah. You mean for tomorrow?
Yeah.
It's all laundry and cleaning. But here's the thing. Dan was like, look, after I, like, we had the mailbox meltdown together. Right. And I,
it's really going to make you stronger as a couple.
I really started to be like, Dan, I made a list of everything that I want to do. And I can't even, it makes me sick to look at it. I don't know where to start. I don't know how to start. It's just, and Dan's just like, what do you mean we need the vacuum? God bless the man.
Well, I think really the solution lies in the middle.
Well, there's something else that happened.
Oh, no, what?
It's quick, I promise. No, you're trying to rush me.
I'm not trying. I'm just worried.
No, it's...
I'm watching you decay in front...
You're fretting. You're worrying your hands together. Stop wringing your hands.
You are really worked up and it troubles me. Okay. I don't like that.
So... Wednesday.
Of this week,
I made the list, and the list is sickening to me. So Dan says, all right, the family that does all the contracting work for my parents, his wife, she cleans houses. Why don't we just give her a call? Have her come clean the
house.
Fantastic. We will spend the whole weekend doing all of the laundry, doing all of that crazy spring stuff that you want to do. We'll spend the rest of the time outside. We're going to go to Home Depot. We're going to weed everything.
This is fantastic.
He's like, it's worth the $80.
Right.
He's like, let's just do it.
$80. That's how I say $80. It's $80.
Okay. And I was like, you know what? You're probably right. But at that point, I feel like a spoiled...
You mustn't, though. Because if you don't have the opportunity to do it yourself, and if you have the means... Once or twice a year to hire someone to do it, it's money well spent.
And that's what Dan said. He's right. Like, look, it's not like we're setting this up. You know, you're gonna have like a cleaning lady,
a live-in staffer, right? You're just doing it once.
So he calls the husband, and he leaves a text, and he says, sure, she'll be there at 1 o'clock.
Fantastic.
1 o'clock on Friday, and you know we're hanging out and everything, and I was like, holy crap, it's 3 o'clock. Do you think she got, like, where?
Right.
Turns out she went to Dan's sister's house on accident. They're not.
By accident.
By accident. Their phone numbers are one number off.
Oh.
Yeah.
They probably got their cell phones at the same time.
Yeah, the whole family. Like, all of their numbers, of their numbers are very similar. And Dan and Jill's are one number off. So Jill was like, well, you know, I don't remember that she was supposed to. I mean, maybe I could have. I don't.
So she went to the wrong house and still cleaned it?
Yeah. Because Jill was like, did I? Maybe I. Because Jill's pregnant. She's got like pregnancy brain. And she does schedule her to come every once in a while. But Jill was like, I don't remember. I mean, I guess it could be time, but I don't.
And meanwhile, you're still living in filth.
Yeah. She's coming next week, though.
Only if Jill doesn't need her.
But we got everything straightened out. But by the time, like, Thursday night rolled around and I had made the list, at one point I said to Dan, I think this is when you, like, take me to the hospital and have them give me drugs.
No, no.
I was like, this is when you need to commit me, Dan.
You're going
to
be just fine.
I know. After doing the entire yard, front and backyard yesterday, working our tails off.
Right.
I actually feel so much better about everything.
Good. And you're going to realize also, since August will be 1 year in the house, right?
Mm-hmm.
The first year in any place is tough because you have to deal with what happens on a yearly cycle. You've not done a yearly cycle yet. Mm-mm. This is your first spring in the Lieberman.
The
Loom Weaverman.
Loom Weaverman's home. In the Weaverman.
You're going to do just fine.
Yes.
And thank God Jill got her house cleaned. I mean, now I know.
I feel great for her. She's
I
got
think
a
I'm
baby.
I'm
going
to sleep great tonight and put on my mask and leave it on and the whole deal.
So you're going to have to help me pick out a new, like, stereo system to buy because.
Outstanding.
I think of subwoofers and I think of squeaks.
We'll get you a pair of speakers that have a lot of oomph, and you don't have to have a subwoofer then.
Okay.
Or as some people say,
because I want it for my hi-fi.
Subwoofer.
A subwoofer.
I don't like that.
I want it for my record player.
Well, you got to play your records when the kids come over for the dance party.
Exactly.
Sock hop at Katie's house.
When PB&J come over. I would be such a good little chaperone.
I don't like going to a sock hop at Katie's house. It's too dirty.
Oh, that's hurtful. You're going to send me right back into my spiral.
No, you're fine. And look, I've stopped wringing my hands.
I know.
We're going to answer your questions. We're going to entertain your questions, and hopefully you too, when we return. Segment 3, Episode 17, Cake and Cookies. Jingleage. All dicks. Transition jingle. 1630
KCJJ. No.
No?
This is getting to know you.
Oh, I know.
You're so tired. This isn't how you did it last week.
Do we actually come out with getting to know you?
It's what you did last week.
But no, because we played Laughing Dude, and then we did that.
I
don't doubt that I'm tired, but I think I'm doing it right. Because we can't come out of getting to know you on KCJJ without station identification. Right?
I thought you went straight into getting to know you.
I don't think I did. But even if I did, this is how we're doing it this week.
Okay, that's fine.
What name are you using this week?
The Baroness.
And now here's the Cake Man and the Cookie Mistress, Rob and Katie.
The Baroness.
The Baroness.
The cold-hearted Baroness.
Okay.
Yeah.
Baroness Von Trapp.
Yeah, like the Baroness from The Sound of Music, who was cold-hearted and wouldn't play games with the children.
Exactly.
Cold-hearted.
We'll send him away to camp. Isn't that what that's for? Boarding school.
And then, and her friend that produced...
Yes.
I forget the character
probably
name.
Probably like a Weinstein or Harvey. What was his name?
But I know this, that if I was ever in The Sound of Music, that would be the part I would play.
Oh, yeah.
The shifty promoter.
Doy.
A doy. Cake and cookies.
Doy.
I'm Rob Spiewak. I'm Rob Spiewak.
Oh, I'm the Baroness.
That's right. And, it's time to do the thing with the thing, because this is what everyone loves to do.
Getting to know you. Getting to know all about you.
And although Katie will say I'm lying, it's the truth when I say it's my favorite part of the show, each and every week, answering your questions which you can send to us. On the Twitter, we are at Rob and Katie. Please spell out A-N-D, R-O-B-B, A-N-D-K-A-T-I-E, or send us a message on the Facebook.
Book of Faces.
You can send it directly to Katie or to me or the Cake and Cookies page. Not to be confused with the Cake and Cookies fan page.
No, our page.
Which the fan page is just hopping.
I like to pop in there and
visit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And got a nice thank you from Miss Asland, who won the Linus contest.
Did she get the package?
She did indeed.
Did she like it?
She did indeed.
Okay.
I don't know that anyone liked it as much as I did the fact that Linus actually wrote the letter.
Well, he's a good boy.
Now, when you said in the last segment that there wasn't enough Ativan in the house to make it okay for the mice, was there enough Ativan in the house to write that letter from Linus?
Linus wrote that in the morning.
Of course he did.
Yes. Linus wrote that very sober.
He says, I have...
Did you see that handwriting?
I have one black toe.
It was cute. Did you see?
It was adorbs.
And Judd's little stamp, it had a dew claw.
The dew claw. Yeah. I read it 100 times.
But because Linus has one black toenail.
Speaking of the dogs, Marcus Hodges writes, Dear Casey, could we please get an update on Judd's prepping? I don't want him to slack off. 13 sticks is not enough.
Mm.
Yeah, is Judd around?
Hi, Mr. Bob.
How's the prepping going?
It's okay. Since Mom was like losing her mind this week, I was trying to keep it to a minimum, you know?
Sure. Well, you don't want to make it about you.
Mm-mm. I mean, I do, but I had to decide whether or not Mom got to stay in the prepping room with us.
She might have been excluded?
Yeah, we were having some rough times. But Mom moved the furniture. And I found some more squeakers.
Oh, that's good. Do you put that in the prep room?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Also, Mom got me some new tweets.
And?
They don't taste as good as my other tweets, but they make me really sleepy.
Oh, does she sometimes give you these treats before a thunderstorm?
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk to you at length about these next week and also about how Pretzels is drinking more.
Pretzels likes the drink.
Yeah, she does. Just a drop. You know, at the end of the day.
No. Mom said something about having to get, like, what are they called? Sippy cups? So Pretzels can't get into and get into her wines.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, Pretzels really likes that stuff.
But you're more into the pills.
I like the sleepy tweets.
You're like the Elvis Presley of dogs. Hey, how's your dad's foot?
I don't think Dad wants me to talk about that.
Really?
No, he's been yelling up a storm.
Broke his dew claw?
I think so.
You know, if that happens, he's no longer number one.
You know, they told me that my dew claws aren't needed for anything, but I tell you, they've been helping me with the weapons.
Sure, well, you...
How else am I supposed to open that door down there?
How many sticks do you have now?
Oh, 47.
47 sticks. There's your answer, Marcus, mm-hmm. And thank you
all
for
different
coming.
Sizes. And, Mr. Wobb.
Yes?
I have arranged them by size.
Learned that from your mom.
I did.
A little OCD.
A little bit.
All right. We appreciate it, Judd. Thank you for coming.
That's
by.
Why Presley drinks. She learned that from my mama, too.
Yeah, it's all learned behavior. That's why she drinks. All right. We had a follow up here. Christina Peterman, remember she wrote us last week and wrote, "Dear Casey and Jean, my question comes in the form of a request. I want to party with you. I will bring you champagne, beer, and no panties." And I requested a clarification. Because if she meant she would bring no panties, or perhaps it was a comment on her wardrobe.
Right, we weren't sure.
She replies, "Dear Casey, in clarification of previous request," she's writing like it's a telegram.
Yes.
Stop. "In clarification of previous request, my lack of panties is twofold. One, in respect to Katie's hatred of the word, I will leave them behind. And two, yes, Rob, I am a huge fan of yours."
Okay. Well, thank you for leaving those behind.
And also not
mentioning it.
Not really clarifying much. But she does seem to like me, and you know what? I her.
I enjoy her as well.
Thank you very much.
Getting to know you. Getting to know all about
you. Oh, turn it up so you can't hear me. I get it.
We all know you've had a week, okay?
Yeah.
It's going to be all right. Do you think?
I know. Apparently, I have to go clean 47 sticks out of my basement.
Do you think Judd might give you one of those new treats?
I think he might try.
Couldn't hurt.
She's not going to taste it in this spaghetti.
I put them in a cupcake. Scott Revels writes, "I'm a truck
driver. I
wonder
if it dissolves in the wine." We'll get Presley down, too.
Hey, maybe it would be like an Alka-Seltzer, look like champagne.
Mama likes bubbles.
Scott Revels writes, "I..." Make him talk like Bob Barker.
Okay.
"I am a truck driver, and I listen to podcasts all day to keep me entertained and sane. I happened upon this podcast under the new and noteworthy section of iTunes.
Holla!
I tried you guys out, and within 2 days, I had caught up with every podcast so far. Now I cannot stop..." Page two.
Uh-huh.
"Thinking about the show, I find Katie's Judd voice to be hilarious, and I wait for it every episode. I honestly thank you guys, and I think you guys are great, and any show that can keep me laughing from El Paso to Phoenix is great in my books."
I thank him.
That's what's so cool about that.
Awesome.
What's so cool about that is so many of our listeners, and thank God we have the the crossover with the Mike O'Mara show,
yeah,
that launched this show, but this is a guy that just saw us on iTunes.
I think that's so cool that we have. I never in a million years would have thought that we had listeners that didn't come directly from
and
somehow
also,
the Moore Network.
And also he's
KCJJ.
He's got to think we're nuts. Because
yeah,
to just jump in and not have the
who are these people?
The 20-year backstory of yeah, you and me. Well, God bless him. I'm not sure he
little
should
ditty
be I'm
about
not,
Rob and Katie.
Not so sure he should be driving an automobile, at least at the very least a truck.
While listening to this.
Yeah, just laughing. Right into the mountain. Bless his heart. We wish him all the best. That is really cool. And that, folks,
that's,
you know,
awesome.
We say it every week. If you can leave us a review and a note on iTunes, that's what keeps us new and notable.
And I love learning about how people who didn't find us through either the KCJJ station or through the Mike O'Mara, the Moore Radio Network.
Mm-hmm.
I love hearing people's stories about how they found us.
I think it's really,
it's
really
so
cool.
It's so fun.
I do love it very much. And let's close with this one. This is from Leanne Bishop. She says, "Thank you so much." Oh, this is to me particularly. I was messaging with this guy.
Of course it is. Yeah.
Of course it is. It's fun, isn't it? Like you're pushing a rock up a hill.
You're so tired.
I'm very tired.
It's very easy to mess with right now.
I was messaging with a fellow by the name of Matthew Bishop, who with great urgency said to me, Rob, I need the recipe for tater tot casserole.
You should put that on the Facebook.
Listen, I have to keep my secrets. It allows me to remain mystical.
Did you send him the recipe?
I typed it out by hand. I don't have it like in the computer. I had to do it from memory.
Right.
So his wife, Leanne Bishop, writes, thank you so much, capital letters, thank you so much for giving my husband the recipe for the tater tot casserole. Might be my new favorite. Already looking forward to breakfast. I'm going to have it heated up with a fried egg on top.
Oh.
Yum. Thanks again, Leanne Bishop. And you know what?
Oh, my God. Like a runny fried over easy egg on a tater tot casserole.
Or as I like to call it, Polish shepherd's pie.
Or heaven.
So here's what we got. I will very quickly close with recipe corner. I guess.
Are you kidding me?
No, we'll just run through. It won't take long. And here's what I write. If you want to make the tater tot casserole, and by the way, I had it this week. It is fantastic. You get a pound or so of ground beef, brown it with some chopped onions and chopped celery, about 4 or 5 stalks of celery and a regular onion. Brown it up. By the time the beef is done, the celery and the onion will also be done. Drain off all the fat. Put it in a bowl. Stir in a can of cream of mushroom soup. But do not add the milk. It stays full strength. You don't dilute it like it says.
Okay, okay.
And then you do that, and then you put it in a 9x13 glass pan, cover it with a few handfuls of grated sharp cheddar cheese. Then
So it's healthy?
Yes, this whole thing is good for you.
Okay.
And then the what part of tater tot casserole had you
know.
Thinking that somehow it would be healthy?
I don't know.
Cover it with tater tots and bake at 350, not the prescribed 425
mm-hmm.
that the tater tots will tell you. Bake at 350 until crispy on the top. Take it out, serve it, and if you're really into health
food. That's really easy.
Oh, it's very easy. And if you're really into health food, like your old buddy Rob, serve it with a dollop of sour cream.
Oh my. It sounds really good.
You'll never look back. It is honestly one of my favorite meals.
You know, I wonder in the ground beef if you could mix in a little bit of like breakfast sausage and actually make it like a breakfast casserole.
You absolutely could, like a pound of a.
Oh man.
Sage sausage.
Yes.
Get the honey, Junior. Just a drop.
Just a drop.
Just a drop. Yes, absolutely do that.
That sounds so good.
If I were to tell you right now that literally my mouth was watering.
I'm
not even going to tell you, but it might be.
I'm going straight home so I can make dinner.
Okay, that'd be good.
I'll be like, babe, I need you to go get some tots.
Need some MF and tots.
If you don't get this girl some tots. It's gonna be hell to pay! I need tots!
I'm having tots!
You ever had the sweet potato tots? I think it's more fun to say.
Yeah, I'm not a big sweet potato guy. When they try to make sweet potato do potato things,
mm-hmm.
Stay away from that.
Okay.
Don't I mean like a
bake? I am what I am. I'm so sorry.
You're not.
I'm not.
And you know why you're not sorry? Because I was about to do the same joke. Thank you, Mike, for letting Katie tell that joke. Thank you, Oscar. Thank you, Matthew Bloom.
Thank you.
And you know what? This week, folks, if you haven't done it, find Pony Boy on Facebook. MattBlum and friend him.
Yeah, definitely.
He's a good guy.
He's a good guy.
Thank you, Steve Bridges, for putting us on the radio, keeping us on the radio. And everybody have a great week. And I hope you enjoyed your Memorial Day. I hate that we time shift the show.
It's time machine.
So you have to look back. Yeah, so I hope you all enjoyed it. Next week, perhaps, if you're good, the debut of the Steve Mermelstein Magic 8-Ball.
It was good.
I don't mix meat and dairy.
I don't.
I can't have the tater tot casserole.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you, Katie. And thank you for listening. We'll see you next week. So long, everybody.
Portions not affecting the outcome of today's game may have been edited prior to today's broadcast. Cake and Cookies, The Rob and Katie Show. This is Dude Walker speaking. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. Petula Clark!
Oh, it's you, Miss Livingston.
Hello, Rochester. Where's Mr. Benny?
Down in the cheese vault, counting out his cheese.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, not again.
I'd just like to know who's been filching my best gorgonzola.
Don't look at me, Jack. I'm on a diet.
Oh, hello, Mary. Oh, happy birthday.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Don.
If you're feeling mighty lucky,
Don.
Bugs Bunny-ish and Daffy Ducky,
Don.
And taught you tall putty tat,
Don.
There's just one thing to do for that.
Don!
Oh, what is it, Jack?
Don, you're not supposed to do a commercial. This is a movie and...
A movie? Gosh, I've always wanted to be a movie actor. Ahem. What light in yon window breaks? It is the dawn.
No, Don. No.
Oh, Jack, can't I just...
No.
Oh, gee whiz, you never let me do anything I want to.
Don, such a ham.